In John chapter 21, our reading, as we have continued through the book of John throughout this season of Lent, continues tonight and then ends tomorrow, our last reading tomorrow night. And that will be our focus on Easter morn. But for this evening, we're reminded of Jesus' third appearance to his disciples after his resurrection. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." What lots of men do on Sundays instead of go to church. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing, what they deserved when they missed church. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Switching sides is what I thought of when I first read this text again in planning for our messages throughout Lent. And I thought that with simply the matter of what they were doing with the boat. They were casting the net over here. And Jesus simply said, "Cast it on the other side. Cast it on the other side of the boat." Now the disciples probably are thinking, well, we've been casting it. Not like there's going to be fish on one side of the boat when there's not on another. They don't have the little fish finders like you get on the boats nowadays, right? Love those fish finders. I don't buy it. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've been over where it's showing beep, 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 all these fish under me, and I'm still not catching any of them. Fish finders, I don't know. And then you get these people, they drop a line in, and no matter where they drop it, they always seem to pull something out, right? More like me, in the past, I would fish for a long time without catching. And I remind people the goal of fishing was to fish, not to catch, otherwise it would be called catching. So, I was fishing. Maybe I needed to go to the other side of the boat. What the disciples were told to do. Just cast the net on the other side of the boat. Switch sides. And they reaped a harvest. A huge harvest. 153 fish. This is not the first time that this had happened for them, though. Early in Jesus' ministry among his disciples, and that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where it's noted at the beginning of his ministry, he calls out to them as they are out in two boats. They're out on the shore, and they've come in, they haven't caught anything. He says, "Go back out. I'm calling you to go back out and listen to me." And they went back out after working all night long, not having caught anything then either, went back out, and because Jesus said to, they cast their net, and they brought in so much the nets were breaking at that point, and one of the boats started to sink because of the weight. They had to use both boats to bring back in the haul of fish. There were so many. They had heard this from the Lord before when he told them to cast the nets. And so I think that's why we don't get any hesitation this time. There's a little hesitation, it seems, recorded from the other Gospels, in that early point in his ministry with them. But this time, no question. We're being told by this voice over there to cast the net. Something's very familiar about this. And besides that, what's the harm? So they cast the net. They switch from their plan to God's plan, from their way to God's way. I mean, they've been doing it their way and it wasn't getting anything. Really, just casting on the other side of the boat, though, is going to make that big a difference. And yes, sometimes just changing our lives just a little bit is all that's needed to make a big difference. They changed from their plans to God's plan. They changed from their understanding to His. They changed from the idea of knowing what they were doing to the idea of believing that this person might know what he's doing. And he did. And he does. We're called to switch sides as well. We're called to switch sides from our ideas of right and wrong to what does God say is right and wrong. We're called to switch from going the ways of the world and agreeing with the world because the world says so to going with God because God says so. It makes a lot more sense to go with God in the beginning anyways because what's right in our land, just take a look at our land. The laws of our land, all it takes is for 5 out of 9 judges up in Washington to say something is going to be this way and all of a sudden the law is different. Really? And we know by fact that they're politicians. So they're persuaded to lean a certain way. So in other words, however our country is kind of leaning is the way we're going to make our new laws. That's what happens every time. Now, there are some cases where you can tell true justice is done because you get pretty much everybody going the same direction. But when you're getting that split over and over and over again, you know it's not about what's right and what's wrong. It's about ideals, their ideals. Fortunately, we never get a change of heart from God. His heart has always been for us. He's always been on our side, always looking out for us and always leading us the same way. He tells us what is right and he tells us what is wrong and he hasn't ever changed on those things. So we don't need to either. We need to leave our ideas of right and wrong when they conflict with God's and follow what God has said. We need to leave from selfishness to generosity. We need to go away from our ways of doing things for ourselves and wants and our desires to taking care of others and blessing others and their needs. Instead of looking after our wants all the time, what are the needs of others around us that we could tend to and could help with? Instead of going after our ambitious desires, let's look at what the God of creation might be calling us to do, to witness, to share, to spread the good news, to pray with someone, to visit someone in need, to be there for someone who's hurting. Maybe we need to change from our direction and just go God's direction. We need to switch sides. And normally when you think of that idea of switching sides, you get this idea that you know you're a traitor. You're switching, you're going over to the other side, you're going over to the other team, but with us, that's not the case, you see, because you belong to God first. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and set you apart, God says to the prophet Jeremiah. He says the same to us. Before he knew us, before we knew the world, before we were formed, he knew us. He knew us before we were formed in the womb. So life doesn't begin at some certain trimester. Life doesn't begin at conception. Life begins before we are formed in the womb when God knows us. He creates us and gives us life. We need to go away from our understanding and our ideas of science even and go to what God has said and belief and trust. And even when our senses may tell us one thing and God has said something else, I think it's best to heed the senses, but to believe the Lord. I mean, we take and we eat and we take and we drink the bread and the wine of communion, and we're told, this is my body and this is my blood, and yet I smell the wine and it smells like wine. I taste the wafer and, well, that doesn't really work, does it? It doesn't taste like bread. It kind of is like styrofoam that melts in our mouth. But we get the idea. But it certainly doesn't taste like I'm eating flesh. It tastes like I'm drinking blood. And yet I know that in this reception of this, because of his words and because of that institution of Christ carried on still today, that I am truly receiving in with and under that bread and wine his true body and blood. Maybe not with my reason or senses, but with my faith, I am receiving his body and blood. You see, science doesn't have all the answers any more than the Bible gives us all the answers that we need there. The Bible is not a book of science, and science is not a teaching of faith. And yet both are seen to be treated as such at times, and when that happens, we end up disappointed. If we would just take God at his word, switch from the ways of the world, and switch from the idea of having to cross the T's and dot the I's and pick apart the idea of it saying that he flung himself off a cliff or he was thrown off a cliff. The difference between these discernible things in the text of Scripture makes some people want to shoot up flags and say, it's contradicting itself. It's not accurate. It's not true. You can't believe it. And I say it is true because it's a book of faith. It's a book that teaches us about a relationship with God, about what he expects from us and what we can expect from him. And it tells us what we will receive because of what he has already done. And I just need to switch from the idea of what the world is saying is right and wrong to what God is saying is right and wrong. And as much as when someone asks me ridiculous questions that want to challenge my faith, if God is all powerful, can he make a rock so big that even he can't move it? Really, that's where you want to go? And I've actually had that asked of me. Really, that's where you want to go? If you want to go there, then let's understand that we have created an entire generation of Neanderthal people out of finding a tooth. Where are you going to go with that? The Bible's not going to explain that any more than science is going to explain this. And we don't need it to. Because we have the Word of God, and it's a word of faith. It's a word of hope. And we yield ourselves over to his wisdom, not our own. And we receive a bountiful harvest. Here these disciples just simply cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And oh, the harvest they received. Switching sides isn't something that we're doing to turn away from anyone or anything in this world that is right with God. Switching sides means we're turning away from the devil, from the worldly ways that would seek to draw us away from God, and from ourselves and our sinfulness that continues to live counter to God, and listening to God instead. We're going back to where we came from, back to where we belong. We're coming back to our Savior and believing his word is true and right and good. We've made pledges to God in the past, but we may not have necessarily lived up to them. There are people that have bargained with God in times of stress or fear or need. Lord, if you'll just do this one thing, then I'll... There's the old joke about the guys that were shipwrecked on the island for so long, and one guy finally got up, he says, Lord, if you'll just rescue us off this island, then I, and the other guy says, hold it. Don't make any promises yet. I think I see a ship. You know. the way we tend to be. We're going to look for that out if we can get it. We don't need to bargain with God. We don't need to make promises to God that we don't intend to keep as a bargain either, because we don't need to do any of those things to receive His grace and His love in our life. He gives that to us freely. What we do need to do is promise to serve God, promise to love God, and promise to live for God because of what He's already done for us, not because of what we would like Him to do next, but because He's already been there for us throughout our lives. And that experience tells us, if we really pay attention, that we ought to keep listening to Jesus. He's been there before for us in the past. He's evidence that He's been there, and so if we just continue in that path, we can trust that He'll be there for us in the future. Just as the disciples were able to trust that, hearing this voice saying, cast the net over here, we've heard that before. Let's go with it. And it worked. Following God works. It brings us to works. It brings us to doing things for others. It brings us to living a life for Him. It brings us to switching sides from being selfish to being on the lookout for others that are in need and providing for them as we're able. We make pledges when we join a church. Pledge to attend worship faithfully. We pledge to be a part of Bible study and devotions. We pledge to support the church with our time, our talents, to support the church in our offerings. And there again, we make pledges that we fall short on. But we remember again that when we're at the peak points in our life, usually it's because we're also at those peak points in our faith. And when we fall away from that discernible life with Christ, we tend to fall down in the world as well. If we listen to Jesus more, we are blessed more. If in no other way than just hearing His beautiful word, we need to switch sides. We need to turn from ourselves. We need to turn from our world. We need to turn to Christ, to return to Christ. The call is there for us now. It's time to cast your nets on the other side, maybe. It's time to live a little bit more faithfully. It's time to love a little more faithfully. It's time to forgive a little more readily. It's time to live and to live for the Lord. Jesus is calling. And He continues to call. Are you ready to switch sides yet? Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, your only God. Amen.